Amen. All right. Well, hey, I don't know if you guys, again, have noticed or not, but as I said, we've had a crazy, crazy year. Have you noticed that? And it's not just a crazy year. It's not like one big event. It seems like every single month there is something different, crazier than the previous month going on. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Okay. Now, for those of you who just look at me that blank stare, you're either not paying attention or you're on your phone. Shut it off. Okay. Or maybe you've been living under a rock. Okay, so I'm here for you. Okay, I've been cataloging what we've been through so far this year, folks. And you tell me this has not just been one crazy disaster after another. Okay, first of all, let's go down memory lane, right? Remember January, what did it start off with? Remember the Australia fires? Man, the whole country seemed like it was on fire. Remember that? And then here comes February. Remember Kobe died out of the blue? Everybody like, whoa, what was that? That was crazy. We were on vacation when that happened. And that was crazy. And then March, here comes the COVID. COVID's going to kill us. You know, that's when it all began. Remember that? That was a big thing. And then after that, April, we had the economy, of course, tanks. And then now they start coming out with UFOs are real. Do you notice that on the news? It's crazy. It's like, oh, what? Are you kidding me? And then in May, remember the murder hornets? Remember that? The giant murder hornets? Like, man, you got to be kidding me. Right? And then June, the underground crab people came and they said they eat humans. Remember that? That was horrible. I tell you what. And then July, the apes with guns on horseback, they came for us at the human race. Remember that? I mean, this has been one disaster after another. And then this month, remember Godzilla came out of the ocean and he was mad. He was so mad at you and I. And I'm just like, this is. And then September, they're saying the zombie outbreak is going to happen because of the COVID-19 vaccine testing. It's like, oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. And then October, My Little Pony turns out to be real and they eat humans too. It's like, you got to be kidding me. This gets worse as it goes. November was the second wave of crab people. Oh, come on. December, the Kraken comes out of the ocean and he's mad too, right? And he gives Godzilla a run for the money. And then January, they say aliens are going to invade the planet. And then February, the Cleveland Browns win the Super Bowl. I didn't see that one coming. Did you see that one coming? I didn't see it at all. I tell you what, that's the end of the world. I tell you what. And then, of course, now they're saying the rapture is going to happen next March. And then, of course, April, that's when they release Avengers 5. You got to be kidding me. Now you come out with it. Just like nuts. I tell you what. But as you guys can see, man, we've had one crazy disaster after another. It ain't looking good, okay? And believe it or not, folks, some of those were real. But if you put all those together, folks, even the Kraken and Godzilla, My Little Pony, can you believe that? Eats humans, okay? You put all that together, believe it or not, I think I found something way worse, and except this one's really real. And it really is coming, okay? And what that disaster is the people who delay in receiving Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, today. And the Bible says, you wait too long, you're going to be left behind at the rapture of the church, and you'll be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and that's not a joke. You'll wish it was just Godzilla coming out of the ocean. Okay, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Jesus said in Matthew 24, that time is going to be a greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race will be destroyed. Okay, but praise God, we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath. He is going to have the last word on evil and suffering. And that's frankly good news. Aren't you tired of all this baloney going on? Well, he's going to put an end to it. Okay, and that's what his wrath is going to do. Okay, and he's going to return to this planet, Jesus Christ, at the second coming, at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But he's a God of love as well, right? And the scripture is very clear. He only loves us as his church. He's not willing that any should perish, right? So what's he do? He doesn't tell us the exact day nor the hour. Okay, because we goof off to the very end, obviously, I think. And then, so what's he do? He gives us signs it's getting close, okay? And so that's what we're taking a look. Signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close. If you're not saved, you better get saved now. This is not a game. If you are saved, let's finish strong, amen? And tell as many people we can the wonderful name of Jesus Christ we just sang about, because that's how you get out of this mess. Okay, that's coming to the planet. Okay, now we've already seen the first of those signs was the Jewish people and the Antichrist, a 20-week study that we dealt with. The second sign we saw was modern technology, all the different ways, even in our lifetime, even the last couple years, even with the advent of the birth of the internet, as recent as that is, believe it or not, has to do with Bible prophecy, satellite technology, all that stuff, Big Brother stuff. Okay, and then the last 10 times we saw the third sign was the AI invasion. And this takes us back to the book of Daniel. Nearly 2,600 years ago, this prophecy was made. How do you know that you're in the end of times, was the word he says? You're going to see people traveling to and fro all over the earth. Okay, is that happening? Mm-hmm. And then he said there's going to be an increase of knowledge. Well, the problem is that it's going to lead to the end of times. And we saw that that's exactly what the secularists are saying. Now, they don't call it end of times. What do they call it? Singularity, the end of mankind, AI, machines, robots are going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. That's their words, not mine. Okay, but that's what they're saying is going to come to the planet. They agree with the biblical account. Shocker. Okay, so we began to take a look at this. How did this happen? How do we get here? That was 2,600 years ago, and it's all unfolding in our lifetime. This artificial intelligence, how did it happen? Okay, well, we've been taking a look at an overview of, and we're seeing there's a race for AI. Our country, all major countries around the world, military, corporations, you name it, are racing to create AI. And the game is they want to create the biggest, baddest AI to so that they can take over all the other AIs that are not coming that are already here. And that's going on, even though the secular people are saying that's going to end humanity. Then we took a look at the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data, the makers of AI. And then the last seven times has been the future of AI. And in a nutshell, it ain't looking good. Why? Because I'm just making that up? Because I'm just trying to freak people out? No, because the Bible says it spells the end of times. And that's what's happening. They're saying that AI is the new electricity. It's going to permeate and control everything on the planet, just like we rely on electricity today. And we say that AI is taking over on a global basis all kinds of sectors in society. We saw it's doing that with businesses. We saw it's doing that with finance. And then the last three times, and we'll continue on this theme again today, is the area of convenience. And all under the guise of convenience, we've been saying that AI wants to take over and micromanage every little aspect that you could think of under the guise of creating this utopia. Utopian society. Just let AI control it and you'll have a utopian level of convenience and self-comfort like you could never dream. And what we've been seeing is that's not what it's doing. It's actually going to lead to an Antichrist nightmare. Okay, he's going to micromanage the planet, Revelation 13. We saw he's doing that with smart homes, smart cities, smart abilities, smart shopping. Okay, and by the way, when you see the word smart before something, what do you supplant it with? Big brother. That's what it means. Big brother. Okay. Same thing with AI. And then last time we saw also a smart serving. Now this one was kind of creepy. And again, it's all in the guise of convenience because apparently it's just too hard to get up off the couch and put stuff away. Okay. And we saw that they're launching AI robots in about every sector you can think of, whether it's hotels, housekeepers, chefs, pets. Remember that freaky dog? Right, the family assistants, personal assistants, babysitters, elderly care, robot companions, and then it starts getting sick. Romans 1, you invent ways of doing evil. Robot brothels are already starting to pop up. It's crazy. But the problem was this. Think about this on a global scale, right? All the Antichrist has to do is to tap into all these AI robots that are now all over permeate through society. And if you don't do what he says to do, i.e. worship him, guess what the robots could do? He'll take you out, man. That robot chef will slice your neck. It's crazy, right? It sounds crazy like a conspiracy theory, but it really is based in reality. And I think in the seven-year tribulation, he very well could do stuff like that. But that's not all. I'm still preaching on this, Pastor Bobby, so guess what? There's got to be more, and that's right, Vonnie, there is, okay? AI, and again, we're still under convenience, because I'm telling you, our last days, lazy culture, society, all about self-love, self-pleasure, more than God, is falling for this just in time. And now what they're saying is, you know what? AI can now take over our entertainment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, you know, because we all know, I mean, who's got time for this anymore? You talk about inhumane, right? Where we're all so crazy busy and we want to escape our so-called life of suffering, okay? And so what do we need? We need some entertainment, right? And we're virtually entertaining ourselves to death. But stop and think about it. Somebody's got to come up with that entertainment, right? Somebody has to go through the hard work of writing the stories and composing the music and the arts and the sports. And I mean, you talk about a mental drain. I ain't got time for that. You got time for that? Well, hey, wouldn't it be great if somebody could even do that for us so we could just sit around and be entertained to death? Well, guess what, folks? That's exactly what AI is being pitched to do. It's going to take over every aspect of entertainment. And it is a custom tailored for our last days, selfish, self-centered society, okay, that wants and loves pleasure more than God. Once again, let's go to that text one more time, 2 Timothy 3. This is our text that tells us that that's that last day society. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And, of course, 2 Timothy was written to Timothy. You guys are paying attention. That's great. You're still freaking out over the crab people, the second wave. I thought the first wave was mad. Okay, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Godlessness in the last days, right? How do you know you're in the last days? Don't just look at wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, what's going on with Israel and the Middle East. Oh, no. You need to pay attention to what is going on with the hearts of people, the kind of character that's going to arise in the hearts of people. And that's what Paul says. But mark this, there's going to be what? Terrible times in the last days. Well, why is it so bad? Now, notice the very first thing out of the gates. People will be what? Lovers of themselves. And boy, you start doing that, it's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. it goes downhill from there. And that's what he says. Now they're going to become lovers of money. They're going to be boastful and proud and abusive, disobedient to their parents. They're going to be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They're going to be brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of what? Pleasure rather than who? Then God. You got to be kidding me. Having a form of godliness but denying his power, hang out with those folks because nothing, oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation, have nothing to do with them. You want to certainly witness to them, but man, don't make that your lifestyle, okay? You may be seated if you can, but again, as we saw, if you recall in our text last time we were here, it's pretty blunt. We saw that you don't have to sit there and go, well, what's the secret hidden Greek spell is what's going? No, it's plain as day. Our society in the last days is going to be filled with absolute unadulterated wickedness, selfishness, greedy, boastful, prideful, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, out of control, brutal, evil, treacherous, rash, and conceited. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad we see no signs of that. Just turn on your TV. Just walk around. Just keep sucking air when you're doing that. If you're alive sucking air, give me a break. And the point is, it's not just one of those things. It's not even half of those things. It's not even three-fourths of those things. Every single one of those are commonplace today. Not coming, they're commonplace today. Which again, that means, guess what? We're living in the last days. And what we saw again, what is the watershed moment? You cross that bridge and you're downhill from there. The first thing that caused it was what? That we would become a society that loves themselves. What's the number one celebrated secular virtue in society? You got to love yourself. Love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love God and other people. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Scripture says when it comes to self, as we've talked about before, Jesus said the first thing, if you want to be his disciple, it's the first thing you do, deny yourself. Oh, if you want to love somebody, who comes first? He also said love God. Love God first with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. You're still down the list. Oh, you want to do some esteeming? Paul says you need to esteem others better than yourself. The world's message, shocker, is exactly opposite of what God says to do. We're to have that servant mentality. It's not about us. It's not about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, okay? But he says you go that and you become now lovers of self. It's all about you. Oh, it's downhill from there, okay? Now, we've talked about that before, but what I want to hone in on this study is the second thing it says there. It's going to get so bad. Now you play that religious game. You act like you love God. You give people the impression that you're really spiritual. You got this power. But your behavior denies that truth. Because you actually prefer, when push comes to shove, pleasure more than God. And good thing we don't see that either. Yeah, right. Okay? How many times do you hear, I ain't got time for that. Really? You know, hey, we need help doing this. Hey, why don't you join us for study, man? It's got a great... Oh, hi, guys. I know. Really? Somebody could text you and say, hey, listen, there's a game. I'll be right there. As if God's deaf and blind and dumb. He sees all this stuff. But it's so commonplace today that we make jokes about it. But that's a sign you're living in the last days. People are lovers of pleasure more than God. Now, I want to go a little bit deeper on that with this study, with AI. I'm getting there eventually. Okay? Greek word there for lovers of pleasure is philedonos. Let's say that. Philedonos. Now, it's actually made up of two Greek words, okay? Phile, okay, which means love, and donos, which, listen, hang with me, comes from hedone, okay, which is where we get our word hedonism or hedonism from. Okay? And it means pleasure. So it is an accurate translation, but it's more than that. Watch this. Hedone, listen, was the Greek goddess of pleasure, enjoyment, delight, or entertainment. And so the philosophy that sprung up out of this worship of Hedone, okay, or hedonism, was a movement that rose up all based on that and the worship of this false deity that argued, listen, life's whole goal in life consists of seeking pleasure at all costs to avoid any and all suffering. That's what a hedonist is. You're worshiping the Greek goddess Hedone. Your whole life is all about seeking pleasure at all costs to escape suffering. Now tell me that's not our society. Whether we realize it or not, it's just crazy. It's not just lovers of self. It's a movement. The average person today, when they get out of bed, what's their marching orders? I'm here to serve Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? God, use me this day as an instrument of righteousness, not of wickedness. Jesus, I'm here. What do you want me to? Jesus, this is your life. It's not even my life. You bought this life more than fair than square. I'm here to serve. No. And I'm not talking just in the church. I'm talking certainly even in the world. What do people? You get out of bed to what? It's about what? Pleasing yourself. And even if you got to spend your time during the week, what's the phrase? Everybody's working for the weekend just so you can what? Have the whole weekend to what? Please yourself. Okay? That way of life, folks, is a major mega sign that we're living the last days. Okay? Now, it's not just a sign that we're living the last days, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of selves, but it's setting us up for this next trap from AI to literally take over every single nook and cranny of our lives. Okay, and micromanage it to death, literally sometimes, okay? And you think about that. If you're going to live your life, and my whole goal in life of getting out of bed is I need to escape suffering. And in order to escape suffering, I need to please myself. I need to entertain myself, right? But there's a problem with that. Who has the time to create all that entertainment so that we can escape our suffering, right? I mean that in itself could create suffering, right? Do you got time to write books? Do you got time to do movies and stuff like that? Do you got time to do all the sports and all the other things that we take a brain break from and do all that stuff? Right? Most people don't. So again, who is the one who's going to save us from having to spend the time to create all this entertainment? Well, that's your gigantoid segue into AI. Okay, AI is going to do it. I'm going to break it down in two different ways. This is nuts. You talk about a lazy, selfish, self-centered culture. AI right now is taking over our writing. Okay? And again, you think about the setup. We all, you know, you had a hard week, whatever, a hard day, and you want to what? You want to sit back, you want to relax, you want to read a good book, right? What's that do? It helps you just forget about it. To alleviate your life of suffering, to please yourself, entertain yourself, right? Again, we call it a brain break. We get to check out for a little bit. We get to take a mental escape, okay? But again, I don't have time to do all that stuff. Well, actually, I do write a lot of books. But anyway, that's right. More other people write a lot of books. Most people don't have time for that, okay? So wouldn't it be great if I could avoid getting all those hand cramps from having to write all these books for people and all that stuff? Well, folks, I kid you not, AI is not just writing books, and I'll get to that in a second. AI is even doing the writing for us. It's crazy. Watch this. This is the first one.
There is still something compelling about a paper note. The tangibleness of it, the ceremony of opening it, the ability to kind of file it away and to have an idea in your mind of where it is physically stored and perhaps even where it's stored next to, what that means about it.
We get the handwritten sample from every customer, and our job is to look through it and really find the essence of that person's handwriting.
Bond lets you send handwritten notes on personalized stationery from any device and anywhere. We've developed technology that can actually learn your handwriting. It's not just about learning your letters, so it's just copying. It's about learning how you actually write. So everything from thinking about the speed with which you write, the pressure within which you hold a pen, and then actually built and manufactured the machines that hold pens and then can take that, the learnings that we've taken from you, from your handwriting sample, and then replicate that with a machine.
Turn to somebody and say, lazy, you gotta be kidding me, right? And there's a whole other thing. I don't have time to get into that aspect, but man, you know, sometimes legal documents or things that you got to formalize with a handwritten signature, good, bad, and ugly, you sign off on. This thing can now, well, it's his signature. It looks real. I mean, you could use that for nefarious purposes, but there's more than that. But again, here's what the, hey, this is great, man. Because it just saves me time. It saves me suffering. Remember, my whole world is I need to escape suffering. I need to please myself. I need to entertain myself. As less suffering as possible. And now I don't have to write my own notes or letters or I don't even have to fill out job applications anymore or sign all those important documents. Hey, I can do it all for me. Right? No more hand cramps. Woo-hoo, my life of suffering is over. But you can see how people get into this. But it goes even way deeper than that. It's not just taking over our writing. This is where it gets creepy, in my opinion. AI is actually taking over the actual writing itself. Not just the physical act, the actual coming up with the words, the ideas, the stories out of the blue. It's coming from AI's brain, if you will, not man's. And I'm telling you, it is so far advanced, it's nuts. Let me give you just some examples of how AI is now writing all kinds of things for us. Not just the act, but the actual ideas and content, okay? Let's take a look at that. First of all, AI is already doing poems. A poetic AI system pins Shakespeare like sonnets and now writes him as good as the Barb, even to the point where it's able to fool people. And again, this isn't man. This is AI doing it, out of the blue with its own so-called brain. Computer scientists in Australia and also in Canada designed an AI called DeepSpire, instead of Shakespeare. It's an AI program that writes poetry following the rules of rhyme and meter. In some ways, the computer verses were better than Shakespeare's, more precise in human written poems. Okay, so again, it's making great strides. Also, a AI program is writing, quote, bad poems just like an angsty teen. Okay, it was the headline there. Okay, and this one is writing poems so convincing that judges actually think it was written by a human. Okay, let me give you just one example. And again, this is coming from AI. It's just whipping it up out of the air. This is not man, and it's just repeating it. Okay, it's from AI. But here's one of those angsty poems it came up with. The sun is a beautiful thing. In silence is drawn. Between the trees, only the beginning of light. Sounds like a teenager thing, right? But that's coming from AI, right? Just whooping it out of the blue. One person said, was that poem written by an angsty middle schooler or an AI algorithm? Is it easy to tell? Yeah, it's not easy for us either, they say, or for poetry experts for that matter, right? The AI poets are good enough to fool online judges, and they're the latest step in AI creating believable human passing language. And listen to this, it will soon be neat to buy a coffee table book of robot poetry. It's now doing it. Out of the blue. That's how far advanced these things are in their, quote, thinking abilities, creating the content. Also, not just with poems, but carols and cards and letters and stuff, okay? Researchers now are developing what's called predictive text. That's their term for this, that it can just whip out the text out of the blue, predictive text, for just about, again, everything you can think of. Again, not just poems, but we're going to see letters and carols. Now, let me give you one example of a letter, right? Remember every year you got to write those Christmas letters? Right? And to recap your family and what we've been up through and all that. Do you got time for that? I ain't got time for that. Doesn't that make suffering? And see, what's the goal of life? I got to escape suffering. So wouldn't it be great if AI could write those year-end recap letters for us? Well, it is. Now, this one came out kind of goofy. And again, this is not man. This is AI whipping this thing up. It came out kind of goofy, but who reads those things anyway? Right? You can just get it out there in the mail, right? Alleviate some suffering. But watch this. This is an actual AI Christmas letter.
To our wonderful friends and Bob, Christmas seems to be here, and we thought we should tell you that. Our family has had a very joyful year. We might even get to sleep for the first time since Duncan replaced the moon with fireworks. In September, with horses and a variety of celebrities in our home, we lost Stanley in a fight with the French Legion. We are grateful for his service. As our family heals, we hope to get rid of our house so we can spend our lives in a grove of orange trees. Bob, please do not visit us with your family or those piano-playing defensive ends you associate with. We have an uninhabited maze that is in need of repairs. I have made a few of my sisters go into the maze, but they are still in there, and they have to be dead or at least very ill. They need rescue. I would do it, but Aiden has saxophone practice. He is pretty bad, and I must do whatever I can to make his mouth do the wonderful music. Jonathan, our second oldest, suddenly became a flute. We had a very difficult time with the transition, but he really liked it. Ellen, our dear family otter, has taken ill, and we know she will not survive the winter. Bob, we will send you the remains. Grace talks constantly without stopping. John got older. Our grandchild is insane. We are concerned because he is always showing up in pictures from hundreds of years ago. We know he is watching. Of course, Cowboy Chris is as energetic as ever. Only last weekend he dropped everything and yelled, "I ain't too wooden to dance the Britain Bush brunch!" And he wasn't neither. Other developments. Dan placed third in the hospital visits competition. Duncan announced a new federal casino. And our parents are still running Seattle with their hundreds of wild dogs. We are blessed. Family is important, complex, and unabated. We hope that all of you are staying mysterious and happy. Love and blessings to all. Bob, you get a single blessing only. The Margaret Group. P.S. Sorry I missed another celebration with us all together. I was stuck in a cardboard wrestling painting. I will still endorse you on LinkedIn for Christmas if you don't choke.
Close enough. Close. I mean, who reads those things anyway, right?
But you alleviated your suffering.
Isn't that weird? Just came out of the blue. It's kind of goofy, okay? But speaking of goofy, okay, now listen to this. Researchers are also using AI to reconstruct Christmas carols. Now, this is being done, as we saw before, the one AI entity from IBM called Watson. So Watson's behind this, okay? And here's an example of some of the Christmas carols that it just popped out of the blue. Okay, again, no man not intervening. AI came up with this. Now, the first one wasn't too bad, as a Christmas carol will go, so to speak, from a secular point. It called it the jolliest carol, and here's how that went. Sing we joyous all together, jingle all the way, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, right? And then all is merry and bright, joyful all ye nations rise, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. And oh ho, all the lights are shining, all the drunks were singing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, from AI there. And we all know Santa's coming, he's got a very shiny nose, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. So you go, oh, it's not too bad, that's whatever, from a secular point of view. But now, then it came up with, this is AI doing this, the scariest carol. Listen to this one. Notice, and you're going to see a pattern throughout this study today. It starts out not too bad, then it always goes creepy. And I think I know why. We'll show you in a second. But this is, it's Christmas time, and there's no need to be afraid, Chris. There's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear. Unkind as any. It's Christmas time and there's no need to be afraid. Then it came up with the darkest carol. It gets worse as you go. Watch this. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and since we've no place to go, hang your stockings and say your prayers. The world has suffered long. Oh, and the worst of the worst, lying there almost dead on a drip in that bed, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight. I won't even wish for snow. It's even worse for us mouses, us small folk, live in misery. Me? I guess I was a shoulder to cry on, but it still hurts. This year, to save me from tears, I'm hiding from you in your soul of ice. I won't even stay awake to heal the world. And it gets kind of dark and creepy, man, as you go, right? Oh, that's not all. Now, speaking of dark and creepy, they're using it to create Halloween stories. Shocker, right? Okay. And this one is being done by an AI, by Botnik Studios, and they're actually using this to write scary Halloween stories. In fact, the whole books, not just poems, right? Not just carols. And this one is Give Yourself Goosebumps book series. I guess it's popular out there in the secular world. Well, now they're letting AI do it, okay? And it came out with one called Give Yourself Goosebumps Welcome to Sand Hands. This one's generated by AI, the whole book, okay? It's got supposedly 200 different endings, and I'm just going to give you a sample of the AI book that it's generating for this series, okay? Here's just one page, okay? Quote, I don't think it's okay that we have to eat yogurt every day, your cousin complains. You keep your mouth shut. You like yogurt. It's Thursday, and you and your cousin Zoe are choking down breakfast before classroom. Zoe's been staying with you ever since your aunt was stabbed by that man, and she's way, way cool. She's just as tall as you are, and she's been the most she has the most amazing scent you've ever seen, so sometimes you bump into her on purpose. Eat the fruit at the bottom before you're covered in late, your mom says as she hurries down the stairs. You're not too young to get the hook, you know. You've never seen the hook, but you know that's a threat. And again, this is AI whipping this up. Come on, Aunt Mom, Zoe whines. Can't we have some fun foods instead? Shh, you shush her. Your mom scoops some cheese sauce into her purse and promises to be home in time for dinner. Orange peels and schmear. What's schmear? You wonder, but she's already out the door. I'm not going to eat the rest of this, Zoe tells your mom once you're out of ear distance. Ha ha, very jokey reply. Sometimes Zoe's sense of humor isn't so cool. Kind of weird, kind of freaky, but it's, you know, is what's going on. But speaking of that, now it's getting to the point where it's not just writing books, it's writing horror books. Again, notice how it goes downhill quick with AI and what it comes up with its so-called brain. In 2017, they had an AI program that they called Shelley, like I believe the author that wrote Frankenstein after kind of that, Mary Shelley, and it has written over 200 horror stories, making it the first AI anthology ever put together. Okay, now it's also coming up with new fairy tales. Now, if you've been on Wednesday nights on a witchcraft study, it came up with a new AI did Brothers Grimm fairy tale. Remember, the fairy really means what? Demon. Shocker. And so AI come up with a new one. This one that it generated is called The Princess and the Fox. So let's listen to that one.
Once upon a time, there was a golden horse with a golden saddle and a beautiful purple flower in its hair. The horse would carry the flower to the village where the princess danced for joy at the thought of looking so beautiful and good. "It's magnificent," she said to her father, the king of bread and cheese. Will you give it something to eat and drink if I finally marry the prince? You see, the king had long since urged his daughter to marry the only eligible prince in the land. The problem was she did not love him, and so she had continued to refuse his proposal.
All right, not bad. A couple quirks there. I don't know what AI's hung up about cheese and cheese sauce, if you notice the pattern there. Okay, but it's kind of wild. It's kind of freaky, kind of scary. Okay, but it's making up all. It's not just doing the writing. It's not just doing poems, short things, cards, carols. It's writing whole books. In fact, that's why they're saying this. Quote, can artificial intelligence take over writing? Is what they're saying. AI is here and it's being developed at lightning speed, taking over human traits at a staggering pace. In the field of creative arts, visual, musical, and writing, there is no exceptions. The danger is that AI can, quote, take over human activity with better writers than we have ourselves with no grammar or syntax mistakes. In fact, if you think about it, for a lot of us that do a lot of writing, what are we now becoming dependent upon? Right? Even if your cell phone, you send a text, what does AI do for you? It fixes your grammar, tells you when you're spelling it wrong, it spells it right for you. Right? So we're even becoming dependent, even those of us that still do writing or something as simple as texting, for AI to do it better for us. Okay? And now it's even gotten to the point where, listen to this headline, hundreds of people are trusting AI to write their will. I mean, because who's got time for that? I mean, that's an emotional draining time. It's hard enough to go through a death of a loved one or spouse or whatever. Right? But you got time to whoop out a will? No. Hey, wouldn't it be great to, again, what's the theme? Escape any and all suffering and please myself as many ways as I can. AI can do that. Quote, while it takes careful thought and consideration to get your affairs in order, it can also be an emotional time. But now, artificial intelligence has been introduced to write wills for a fee of only $150. Isn't that convenient? Right? Just to escape that time of suffering. In fact, AI is now doing this. AI is taught to tell jokes, and the results are almost funny. Now, the key word there is almost funny. This one is called Headlinerton. It's an AI comedian, and it was created to basically, again, write its own jokes. So let's take a look at AI's humor. You thought mine were bad? You're going to wish I started talking about chicken. Okay, again, all right, but let's take a look at this. But again, it's AI just whooping this out of the blue. Watch this. He says this, I remember the first time I saw a homeless baby. It was a legit baby. Visually it was, but he grew up on the street and you saw a man in his eyes, a big old man. Ha ha, ha ha, ha. Right? Hey, I hate men. Men are going downhill at a 45 degree angle. Maybe there's a couple of us who would agree. Audience applauds. Hey, you better stop that. Okay. Hey, you ever been punched in the nose? Oh my, it's the only story I have. I was punched in the nose with a sombrero and I thought, this is because of the election. And again, it always starts out like, well, it's not too bad, kind of freaky, kind of dumb, but who would have thought it was already at this point? But then it always turns dark. All right, watch this. We got a daughter now. She's 3 years old. I think maybe she hates us. She said that she will kill people when Jesus comes back to work. I don't know what to do about it. Kids have fun so easily. You know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean, you freaky AI. Okay. All right. But do you see the pattern here? It's not just this whipping up content. It's not just writing it for us. It's whipping up content. And then it always seems to make that switch to go downhill. Why? Well, I got a couple theories. One, I think it's displaying man's dark side who created AI in the first place. Right? Man's got a sin nature, and so he's the one that is kickstarting AI before it takes over on itself. And so guess what? Unfortunately, is kind of built into it, a sin nature. Now, if you doubt that, speaking of jokes, there's an AI comedian out there, I'm not going to obviously share them with you, that actually is now designed to tell dirty jokes. It's called Deviant. So tell me that man's sin nature is not involved in this process. So I think that explains why does it always start out kind of, okay, not bad, too dark. The second reason is I could not believe I came across this. I came across an interview of these AI developers, much of them in California, Silicon Valley area, and they admitted where they're getting this knowledge to create AI, and not just create AI, but to hurry up the process and get AI going quickly. And they admit it's coming from demons. Nuts. Watch this.
What is an AI innovation lab?
So an AI innovation laboratory is basically a meditation room that's set up within an AI developing company that's supporting the innovation process from a consciousness perspective. So you have the tech perspective where you're writing the code for the software, but then there's also like the consciousness perspective where the software developers are learning new methods of innovation to speed up the process of development.
How does meditation benefit the development of artificial intelligence?
So first, meditation is one word that describes many different techniques and approaches. Right now, we are talking about meditation as a tool for innovation. Because now, when we shift our perception of time and don't think of time as like there's a past, a present, and a future, but that basically all moments in time, all events, and also all technologies of the past, the present, and the future all exist within this moment. And we can access all moments in time from right here, right now, through meditation. So we're using meditation to connect with a future technology that already exists, fully developed and functioning in a certain moment in the future. We're connecting with that technology, and then we're bringing the knowledge of its development from the future into the now. We're basically downloading the knowledge of the creation of the AI from the future into the now.
How do you download?
You mean on a practical level?
On a practical level.
Yes. So basically you're guided by a skilled meditation trainer and you connect energetically with your consciousness, with your mind, to the energetic body, the consciousness of the artificial intelligence existing in the future. And then when you bring it from the future into the now, it often feels like a gentle shower of energy that's entering your body through the crown and your head and the body. And then after this kind of meditation, all of a sudden, you can feel very inspired, you have new ideas. All of a sudden, a person comes to your mind that you can call and ask for advice. And then certain events happen that speed up the process of the development. So after this kind of meditation, of course, the software will still be written by humans. It's still being born through a human mind. But this process is accelerating if you use meditation to connect with the future technology.
That's what you think, because you're not connecting with the future. If you've been tracking with us in our occult study on Wednesday nights and other studies that we've done in our prophecy studies, what are these guys really connecting with? This is flat out demons, right? And very well could be even getting you possessed. Okay, but through meditation, what does meditation do? It gets you into an altered state of consciousness, and what does that open you up to? Demonic control and demonic input. But isn't it freaky that he admitted that this is not only where they're getting their ideas from to hurry up and create AI, but there seems to be this desperate, and this was his words, to expedite this, to hurry up and quickly create AI, right? And that's where they're getting this from. And so you're going like, well, why would they do that? Why are they in such a hurry, demons, to make sure that humans create AI? Because I think it's just in time for the 7-year tribulation when AI is going to be on steroids and this planet is going to be crawling literally with demons and AI taking over every aspect, okay? But again, why does it keep producing dark, evil Christmas cards, dirty, rotten jokes, blaspheming the name of Jesus? Not to mention, as we saw before in other studies, you got AI images and AI robots all of a sudden just start speaking, we want to destroy humanity. We're going to take you over. You're going to be pets. Why? Consider the source. And it starts to make sense, doesn't it? Absolutely crazy. But that's just writing, right? There's another thing that we desperately need if we're going to escape our life of suffering. And it's not just writing books and things of that nature. It's music. Right? You had a rough week, right? You just want to go chill in the backyard, right? Turn on some tunes, right? Right? But what's the problem? Who's got time to come up with that music, right? Right? I mean, just you talk, so now you got a problem on your hands. You're going from getting a hand cramp, now I got a brain cramp, right? Who's got time to be creative? So wouldn't it be great if somebody else could do that for us? Well, once again, your wish is AI's command, okay? AI is now writing songs, full-blown songs, okay? And I'm going to give you an example of two of them. But again, notice the tone that these songs take that's coming from AI. Kind of depressing, right? Let's take a look at this. Isn't it? All generated by AI, not just the lyrics, but the music, the whole nine yards, putting it all together. Okay. It's kind of creepy, moody, depressing music. And I'm saying, man, is that what the demons listen to on the other side when those guys are downloading this information or something? Is that where is it going? Makes you wonder, okay. But what's going on here? Now AI is even whipping up music for us out of thin air. But you might be sitting and thinking, well, if that's the music it's whipping up, that ain't alleviating my suffering. That's creating more suffering. Right? So that goes against my whole goal is I need to have something that's relaxing, that's wonderful, that puts all my suffering at ease. Well, again, AI is advancing literally by the day. And the more that it learns about music and structure, folks, it is getting really good. In fact, they're saying it can compose better than humans. Let me give you a little taste of that. Watch this.
Is it possible that at some point in the future, machines will be able to produce music indistinguishable from that of a human? What my friend argues is, if music is ultimately a set of patterns, then, hypothetically, a machine could be fed hundreds or thousands of these patterns and learn from it. It could practice writing its own music, iterate, and gradually learn to produce something indistinguishable from a human's creation. Or maybe even better than a human's creation. I discovered that Amazon Web Services have recently released a new toy, AWS Deep Composer. As soon as I heard about this, I rushed to check it out. You simply feed it some music, let's say Ode to Joy. And its AI spews out this kind of thing. Random, bizarre drum fills, these funny high notes at the end.
Not too shabby.
I mean, it's just bizarre. Who thought this was ready for a public release? A much better example would be Ava, the new AI composer, which has been fed around 30,000 scores. Through this, it can write music for you.
Thank you.
You'd think that this was an extraordinarily real composer. When I first heard its examples, I thought, oh, we're going to be out of a job.
That sounds legit, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds like any music score, but it's all being whipped up by AI. And folks, that's why it's not only concerning a lot of people saying AI is going to take over the music industry. You don't need traditional music or composers anymore. But it's all kinds of genre. Right now, I don't have time, obviously, to give them to you. Right now, AI is not just writing music like that and that other kind of depressing, moody stuff. Right now, AI is writing rock music, pop music, country music. I will spare you those examples. I had to suffer through a couple of those. In fact, one of the ones that AI came up with, a country song, was called You Can't Take My Door. Which apparently was an AI version of Get Your Hands Off My Tractor, Cletus. Okay. But it can also do anything you can think of. I kid you not, Irish folk tunes to Eurovision songs, you name it. And that's why they're saying, quote, will AI penetrate the music industry? And I quote, from Mariah Carey to Alan Walker, we've always had talented musicians bringing terrific tunes to our lives. But now they should watch out as AI is potentially going to start an industry battle with humans. Quote, streaming services will adore this. Why? Because they don't have to dish out the money to pay third-party rights holders, right? Or they're saying what's going to happen is AI, quote, musicians, these entities who, again, call themselves I Am, okay, would now have to get human rights, and you'd have to start compensating the AI like a human. Okay. In fact, now they're taking it even further. They're taking these AI capabilities, not just with music, but they're combining them, speaking of music, with holograms. And they're literally producing concerts around the world to, you know, alleviate our suffering, right? And to escape that, you give yourself a brain break. And those holograms are not only getting lifelike, but watch how people interact with them, okay? It's crazy. They're acting like it's really real. In fact, the one I'm going to show you has been out there for a while. It's called Hatsune Miku. It's an animated female Japanese singer, right? And it isn't just lifelike, but again, pay attention to how the audience is responding to this image, okay, with music. Let's take a look. Image. And it wasn't just the image, it was people's reaction. But isn't that weird? I mean, I'm sure this is just a quinky dink, but we're seeing people, a trend around the world. They're interacting with an image. They're almost like worshiping it like it was an idol or something, you know. And if you think that our world won't do this, I think this is preparatory for what is coming with another image called the Antichrist image. Revelation 13 is where we see that clear, obvious text, 14 and 15. Because of the signs the false prophet was given on power to do on behalf of the first beast, the Antichrist, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up what? An image of some sort in honor of the beast, the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Right? He was given power to give breath to that image of the first beast so that what could that image do? Speak. Okay, and what? Cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. Okay, that's coming in the 7-year tribulation. And we're already seeing the trend of people begin to worship, literally, images in the planet. And by the way, just give you an idea, just that one image, and there's a lot of other ones out there, that Hatsune Miku had 30 concerts, performed more in 70 countries, has garnered more than 600 million fans worldwide, and is already worth more than 10 billion Japanese yen. And you don't think our world will readily worship an image of a political figure who's promising them the world? Folks, it's all coming together, the same technology, okay? He's going to be, if you will, the world's rock star, okay, is basically what's going on. In fact, speaking of the Antichrist, AI is not only going to help pull off the image, okay, that's a lot of this hologram technology, and then I thought, who knows, maybe he'll have AI write his speeches for him, you know, in the 7-year tribulation. Maybe he'll have AI compose the music at his rallies and infomercials to brainwash people to worship him. You know, you never know, okay? But now what they're saying is warnings are starting to come out that AI will also provide what else the Antichrist is going to do in the 7-year tribulation and basically turn into an evil dictator that you can't hide from. And one of the ones who's, again, warning us of that soon coming future is Elon Musk. Watch this.
The robots going down the streets, they're like, what are you talking about? Man, we want to make sure we don't have killer robots going down the street. Once they're going down the street, it is too late. Google acquired DeepMind several years ago. DeepMind operates as a semi-independent subsidiary of Google. The thing that makes DeepMind unique is that DeepMind is absolutely focused on creating digital superintelligence, an AI that is vastly smarter than any human on Earth and ultimately smarter than all humans on Earth combined.
This is from the DeepMind reinforcement learning system. Basically wakes up like a newborn baby and is shown the screen of an Atari video game and then has to learn to play the video game. It knows nothing about objects, about motion, about time. It only knows that there's an image on the screen and there's a score. So if your baby woke up the day it was born and by late afternoon was playing 40 different Atari video games at a superhuman level, you would be terrified. You would say, my baby is possessed, send it back.
I mean, the DeepMind system can win at any game. It can already beat all the original Atari games. It is superhuman and plays the games at super speed in less than a minute. DeepMind's AI has administrator-level access to Google's servers to optimize energy usage at the data centers. However, this could be an unintentional Trojan horse. DeepMind has to have complete control of the data centers, so with a little software update, that AI could take complete control of the whole Google system, which means they can do anything. They can look at all your data, they can do anything. If one company or small group of people manages to develop godlike digital superintelligence, they could take over the world. At least when there's an evil dictator, that human is going to die. But for an AI, there would be no death. It would live forever. And then you'd have an immortal dictator from which we can never escape.
At some point in the early 21st century, all of mankind was united in celebration. We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
AI? You mean artificial intelligence?
A singular consciousness that spawned an entire race of machines. We don't know who struck first, us or them, but we know that it was us that scorched the sky.
we're rapidly headed towards digital superintelligence that far exceeds any human. I think it's very obvious.
What was Google's reason for existing? Remember, if you guys recall? They admitted that they came not to start a search engine, but to create AI because they want to, quote, what? Still in print. Be like the mind of God. Isn't this nuts? And this DeepMind, and if you guys, we've said before, Elon Musk tried to buy DeepMind from Google, but Google outbid him. Elon Musk wanted to slow it down. Google bought it, and now it's at the level where it is what? It has full access to all the data that Google creates around the planet. And it's using that to develop its intelligence. And then it gets freaky because it wasn't by chance that they showed what movie? The Matrix movie. And what's the premise of the Matrix movie? The singular eclipse happened, AI took over the planet, and then now they're saying that really could happen. Except it's not a movie anymore. Just in time for the 7-year tribulation. And I thought it was kind of funny, when this is all coming out, guess what they're now coming out with? Another version of the Matrix movie. Right? Read the print. It's coming out. I wonder why. Maybe they're preparing us for something that's coming a lot sooner than we're prepared to deal with. Okay? But folks, you stir all this together, and what's the issue? AI is not coming. It's already here. And it's doing exactly what God said it would happen 2,600 years ago. It is spelling the end of times. They call it singularity, but it's the same thing. And so again, in closing, the logical response for you and I is to what? Freak out and run to the hills. No, it's time to get excited. Because I believe that all this stuff is going to ultimately culminate in the 7-year tribulation. We leave prior. So what do? It's time to get excited. It's a wonderful reminder from God, time is running out, which is not bad. That means we get to leave at the rapture. We get to go be with Jesus, praise God. We get to come back at the end of the 7-year tribulation. We get to be a part of the millennial kingdom. We get to be a part of the new heavens and the new earth. That's what it happens. It all takes place at the rapture. That's when it all begins. And so what we want to do is finish strong, finish faithful. We want to certainly let as many people as we can know about Jesus Christ and how to escape what is coming to this planet. Amen? We certainly don't want them in some sort of a matrix scenario, okay? And that's really real. It's a real potential danger, okay? But again, if you're here today and you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? How much more proof? How many more studies? How many more opportunities does God have to give you before you say, you know what? I need Jesus. I want to take the way out. He's the only way out. John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. It's only through Jesus. Why would you delay? God is willing to forgive you and rescue you from the end of times. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy.
Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.